and establish a forum.
Karen Ward, here.
Stu Martinez, present.
Rick Jones, here.
Kathy Aiken, present.
Connor Parker, present.
Thank you very much. The record reflect, there's, everybody's here. And Counselor Greg Jones is on the intercom with us while on vacation. At this time, we will have the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll ask our Commissioner Don Greiner to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Don. Added agenda items.
Well, we've got a couple of three here. One is the resolution 2014 on banking, and Summer's going to talk about it, but we will ask if she put that at the beginning of the meeting so that she doesn't have to stay.
Oh, good. Okay.
And so she'll talk about banking, and then this is in here, the hub. So that will be a, I'm assuming it's a contribution to the hub.
Probably.
Okay. I mean, that's the discussion.
We'll go to 11 with that.
Okay. And then I have a request from the chamber to sponsor the booth at the Oregon Tourism Conference.
So. The city to sponsor the booth?
Well, we'll contribute to them so they can go to the booth, to go to the conference, set up a booth.
So that chamber, and were there any other items under 11? Other matters?
Is there any others?
I thought I saw the resolution on that's the bank account.
Yeah, that's bank.
Okay.
Well, that's on.
Okay, so we've got one and then two under 11. Okay. Item 5 is the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with that bill to hold the administrator.
So noted.
So I so move.
It's been moved. Is there a second to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you. And right now we will go to item 5A, which is the resolution 2014-04. A resolution authorizing the change of bank accounts of Washington Federal Bank, closing bank accounts at Home Federal Bank, opening a bank account at U.S. Bank, both located in the city of Lapine, Oregon, designating both as depositories for funds of the city of Lapine, and authorizing signatures on bank accounts.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I wanted to just give you an update and then present this resolution. I am, for the audience, I am the contracted CPA that the city has hired to go through the books, make sure everything is looking okay, look at the city's processes and procedures, and get everything up and rolling. One of the specific tasks that I have been assigned to was reviewing the city's bank accounts. And in speaking with your interim city administrator, we defined a couple tasks that we wanted to complete. First and foremost, we were looking at the number of bank accounts that the city had, and at that time we were up at 9 different bank accounts. And as you saw a month or so ago, we decided to consolidate those with your approval. So that has happened. Thank you for letting us do that. The second thing that we wanted to do was go out with a request for proposal to make sure the city is getting competitive rates and earning as much as possible, to look at the account structures of the accounts that we have, make sure that the city's funds are staying local so that we're supporting the local economy and local citizens. So, In order to do this request for proposal, city administrator and I sat down and we looked at the objectives of what we wanted to accomplish. And we wanted to make sure, again, that the funds stayed local. We wanted to look at competitive rates of return and make sure that the fees on the city's funds and taxpayers' funds were reasonable. We wanted to make sure that the funds were protected and secure. And we also wanted to create some diversity and make sure that not all of the city's eggs or funds are in one basket. So we wanted to create some diversification there. So minimum requirements. We knew that we wanted a bank that had a local branch because we need to do business with them every day. And we knew that we wanted a bank that was on the state's list of qualified government depositories. That's a requirement by the state of Oregon, is that all public funds go to or are held in a depository that has gone through a process and has been qualified through the state. So knowing those two things, there were only two banks in town that could possibly do business with the city. One is Washington Federal. That's where the city's primary relationship is right now. And the other is U.S. Bank. So we reached out to those two banks through an informal process. We sent them a letter and said, this is what the city's looking for. Please give us a proposal. Both banks did. And we analyzed those proposals based on the objectives that we talked about a minute ago. And there were a couple other things that we looked at as well. We were looking at the convenience of the branch. How close is it? Do they have a drive-through? How approachable are staff? How friendly are the staff at the branches? And we also wanted to partner with a bank that we know is involved in the community and invests in the community. And then we thought about potential transition costs. If our current relationship is with Washington Federal and we decide to move to U.S. Bank, how much is that going to cost the city in hard costs of setup fees and new check stock, and also the soft costs of all the staff time that it takes to transition? So we considered all of those and we analyzed the responses and bringing to you a recommendation tonight, a couple of recommendations. We'd like to keep the primary relationship with Washington Federal. And based on all the criteria that we analyzed, there were only a couple that really swayed the decision or caused that recommendation. The first was keeping the funds local. With Washington Federal, there was a guarantee, a recommendation of all of the city's funds, all the taxpayer public money, staying within the local community at the Lopine branch. And we love the idea of supporting the community that way. And then the only other factor that really swayed us was the fact of the transition costs. Right now, the city is happy with the relationship with Washington Federal, and there isn't another motivating factor to move away from them. So that's our recommendation, is to keep the primary relationship, banking relationship with Washington Federal. The secondary recommendation is to go ahead and close the Home Federal bank accounts. So right now, the city has two bank accounts with Washington Federal and two bank accounts with Home Federal. And the Home Federal local branch closed a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, I believe. And so now that relationship is up in mind. So we'd like to close those accounts and move those funds down to the Washington Federal relationship. And the third recommendation is with the intention of creating some diversity. So we'd also like to open a bank account at U.S. Bank and keep approximately $250,000 in that account, at least initially, and keep that as a sidebar over here to maintain that secondary relationship. So those are our recommendations. Do you guys have any questions before we talk through the resolution?
I found it very straightforward and concise.
Thank you.
Very clear.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Any discussion, council?
No.
No, I just want to thank you for doing our late work.
Oh, you're welcome.
Excellent.
That's what I do. It was actually fun.
Okay, good.
So the resolution 2014-04 in front of you has three primary resolutions requested authorizations. The first is to authorize designated city personnel to open the additional checking and or savings accounts at Washington Federal or U.S. Bank that may be necessary to appropriate necessary or appropriate to manage the city's financial requirements. So that's authorizing primarily your interim city administrator to take care of that for you. It's also authorizing him to close the bank accounts at Home Federal and transfer the residual balances over to Washington Federal. And then we'd also like to just confirm and designate the signers on those accounts as Mayor Malenix, Greg Jones, Kathy Egan, Karen Ward, and Stuart Martinez.
Okay. Rick, do I need to read this or do I read the title?
Resolution, just the resolution number and get a motion.
Okay. We have before us resolution 2014-04, which has been described to us. I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the records reflect that the resolution was approved unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll have public comment. And we will probably at some point in time, if the discussion gets going too long by individual, we'll implement a time. I'll call for time. But is there any public comments at this time? Hearing none, I will move forward. Proclamation for Week of the Young Child.
Just hand these to you.
Okay.
Thank
you. Okay. Push the red button.
The red button, huh? Okay. Hi, thanks for having me here today. My name is Laurel Case. I'm with Healthy Beginnings. We are located physically in Bend, but we do come into Lapine twice a year to perform health and developmental screenings for the young children who are age 0 through 5. The next time we'll be in Lapine will be May 9th, so that's coming up pretty soon. We have a very strong relationship with both of the elementary schools and all of the preschools here in Lapine. It's a great little community, beautiful little children. And we're very pleased to come before you again this year, as we do every year, and ask all of you councilmen to proclaim the Week of the Young Child in honor of the children who are the future of our community, and in support of all of the agencies that partner together to ensure a good future for them. I have given you about 5 bare facts. They're just folders that contain information about our organization and what we do for the young children here in Lapine. And if you wouldn't mind reading the proclamation, Mayor Ken, I would appreciate
that. Before the City Council of Lapine, Oregon, a proclamation declaring April the 6th through the 12th, 2014, Week of the Young Child. Proclamation. Whereas Healthy Beginnings, in conjunction with agency members of Partnerships for Young Children and the Central Oregon Chapter of the Oregon Association for the Education of Young Children, are celebrating the Week of the Young Child, April the 6th through 12th, and whereas these organizations are working to improve early learning opportunities, including early literacy programs that can provide a foundation of learning for children in Deschutes County, and whereas by calling attention to the need of high quality early childhood services for all children and families within our community and state, these groups hope to improve the quality and availability of such services, and whereas public policies that support early learning for all young children are crucial to young children's futures, and whereas the future of our community and state depends on the quality of early childhood experiences provided to young children today, therefore be it resolved that the City Council of Lapine, Oregon, hereby proclaims April 6 through 12 as Week of the Young Child, City Council of Lapine hereby urges all citizens during this week and throughout the month of April to recognize and support the needs of young children in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is this the one I want to sign?
I believe so, yes. Okay. Just go ahead and, I think you keep it, do you not have to sign it? I think so.
Yeah, we keep it.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve this proclamation?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous because there's no opposed. Okay, here you go.
Okay, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Thank you
for bringing this to us.
Awesome, thank you.
Greg, would you like for me to sign this for you?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Council. Item 8 is approval of a budget committee member, Franklin Schultz. Would you come forward, Frank?
Yeah.
Just pull up a chair and...
Yes, thank you.
Council, we have before us a recommendation by for approval of a budget committee member in Franklin Schultz. Frank, give us a little history of your community involvement and et cetera, please.
I retired in 2007, moved to Lapine from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I had been professor of chemistry for 20 years at an institution there. My involvement here in the city since then has involved, at the early stages, some work with the Lapine Community Kitchen. Served as a board member, helped write strategic plan, and wrote grants for a period of about 3 or 4 years. Since then, probably been less involvement. My wife Lois has been a member of the Yaya Sisterhood. She runs the scholarship committee, and she's been on the board of directors there for a number of years. So we're here. We enjoy it. And I was urged to apply to do what I can.
Any comment? Okay. Any questions or anything?
No, I'm grateful that you've stepped forward and appreciate all the help, you know, that you can give.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. I'll try to do so.
Stu?
If the budget committee
already rang you through the ringer, I don't see any reason why we should re-ring you out. Probably get enough of that with your wife being involved with the yaya. So it's probably a good reason to get out of the house once in a while. I know I just blundered that, and it's going to wind up in the paper, and we'll have the yayas down there. But
well, I don't know about that, sir.
Well, that's a good thing. We'll get them involved, too. Okay. So I just want to thank you for stepping forward, and I'm sure we'll approve that and welcome you, Lord.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your welcome.
Gary?
Welcome. Thank you for volunteering. Sounds like you're a very interesting person. Thank you.
Frank, I've got to say I'm more than pleased that I saw your name on the list, and we, Frank and I and Lois, have been involved in several activities around the community, and I'm proud to say that I know him, and I'm thrilled that you bring all your skills and everything to the city to help us with the budget, which is a big piece of our world. So we'll be looking for you here on the next couple of meetings, and I welcome you aboard and thank you for volunteering.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and I want to thank everyone for their response here and their welcome.
All right. Okay. You're on the committee.
Okay.
get your email and all that, and they can send you everything. So you're ready.
Is there a motion to approve Frank Schultz to be a member of the Budget Committee?
So approved.
Motion. Moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
And now item 9 is discussion of medical marijuana dispensaries in Lapine.
Okay, you've got what we're doing here tonight is a draft ordinance. We thought you would, because of the nature of the issue, you know, it's one of those issues that the communities have struggled with a little bit. There's issues on, you know, it's one of those, you know, things that's got a lot of pieces to it. So in 2 weeks, we would take this up. So we thought it was a good chance for you to spend that, but there's not a lot of other things on the agenda, so you have some time. You have time to talk, debate, listen, and kind of formulate what you want, because once you have the ordinance written, you can't change it very much at that meeting. So you kind of vote up or down a little bit. So if there's something different or some questions you would like, we could get to Jeremy. He can then tweak the proposed ordinance, and then it would go out for public comment, and we get it out next week for the following week meeting. So this is how it's written. It's pretty much formulated off the moratorium that the state of Oregon you sent out as a template that was put together. You know, I think that just to frame the issue, I just, you know, one of the things I did get, the League of Oregon Cities today sent me kind of what's out there. That doesn't mean what you really will get from this is, it's all over the board. In one hand, you probably say, darn it, because if it was all one way, it makes your job a little easier. But what you will find is that there's 242 cities in Oregon. So far, over half of them, they're not discussing it. So half the cities aren't doing anything. So if you read the news media, you think everybody is. So it's just important to realize that right now, 58% of the cities are not taking the topic up. 48 cities have passed a moratorium from the League of Oregon Cities today. And then there were several cities that actually took it up and voted it down. There's about 14 that took it up and voted it down, and then of course the other half didn't take it up at all. And then you've got about 40 that are pending, that are kind of doing what we're doing. So another thing you'll find on those that passed it, some passed it for a year moratorium, some did it for 4 months, some did it for 6 months. So it's all over the board. You really have freedom. This is one of those few times, I guess. It's really your value, what you want, what you feel, and everything. So don't get boxed in. I think this tells you there is no consistency. An example is Milwaukee, Oregon. They just are doing it to the end of 14. They didn't go into 15. Kaiser did 150-day moratorium. One of them did 108. Dayton did 180 days. Coos Bay did a year. Bay City did 6 months. There's no right or wrong. So don't be pressured by that. Just decide what you're comfortable with. Under the law, if you pass the moratorium, it's only valid till, is it like next May?
15th of May.
15th of May. So whatever you do, we revert back to prior on May 15th. So it's a 1 year issue. And there is nothing that happens then at this point. There's no one working on anything that's going to continue beyond that. So it's, you know, the legislature, and I talked to the majority leader, the minority leader of the House yesterday, and what he said is, you know, it became a political issue. And so a lot of people are up for election, and so then people go different ways based a little bit on the demographics of their districts, you know. And so this is all that could come out of the legislature. The Oregon Senate actually passed a bill that wouldn't allow you to do this moratorium. And then it got over to the House, and the House got going. And so this thing went back and forth as kind of a political hot potato. And usually when that happens, you know, stuff isn't well thought out, and it just, you know, that's what the reality of it. And I think that's why cities are struggling, is what are we supposed to do? The other thing, they said you only got till May 1st to approve a moratorium. So they said you can approve it. It's only good for a year, and you got to do it in 60 days. So, and I think that just shows that there's no consensus. Medical marijuana was approved in Oregon. People have forgotten. In 1999. And it's been through a couple votes and different things over time. The legislature's tweaked it. But as far as, you know, your ability to, medical marijuana dispensaries have been around for several years. You've seen them maybe, or you know of them. And so this isn't something, I think it shows you it's a political issue to just, I mean, all of a sudden right now, if you listen to the news media, you would think it's all that's talked about. But that's politics. I mean, really, when you think about it. So medical marijuana is legal. You're not debating whether it's legal. People will still be able to buy it. It's legal to use it under Oregon law. The voters have approved that. So what you're voting on is, do you want them to be able to buy it in Lapine? And this ordinance bans it for a year, because that's all the law allows you. Now, our business license takes effect on January 1. It says that, or July, 3 months from now, it says that any business must follow federal and state law. A lot of cities are just kind of allowing that to cover it. And that's originally what the cities were doing. Now, there's some people that say they're not sure if that's legal or not. Then the moratorium came along, and so as an extra measure, they're adopting the moratorium. There are some cities just said, I was reading Bedford or something, they said our business license doesn't allow it, so we don't need to do anything else. So, you know, ours would not allow a dispensary after July 1. However, if one is here before that, they would be, according to the legal advice I got from Jeremy, they would be able to stay open. And land use decisions are generally not ever retroactive. In other words, if we allowed you to go build the supermarket across the street, and then after it was built, you said no more supermarkets can go there, you don't go make them tear it down or close. You can keep future ones, but you can't. So, me thinking this was more of a land use decision, thinking, well, it's not retroactive, because they just aren't. For you and understand why they can't be. Jeremy said, and I was reading about this, what the ordinance, the state is saying is you can use your police powers. In our, and I looked that up today, in our charter, we have the ability to, you know, do have police powers. And that gets into the health, safety, and welfare of your community. So this ordinance is not a land use ordinance. So therefore, the retroactivity is kind of a different discussion. It's not automatic. You can, and I guess under police powers, it can be or is retroactive. Again, I don't know if that's discretion you have or not. That's something we will let, depending on where you guys go with the topic, we would ask. As you narrow your issues, you need to narrow kind of your discussion down. We can't send 10 issues to Jeremy because he can't write a draft. So you really do need to kind of give an idea of one or two directions that you're wanting to go. We could have two ordinances next week. I was thinking, you know, it's possible if you have one that's somewhat like this, that's a certain, and then if you aren't reaching agreement, you can maybe come up with a second one. Because I believe we're declaring an emergency, and that requires unanimous. And that's what's tripped up some cities. And you don't have much time. We can't repost one and get it because you have to have 10, you have to have a week between and all of that. So to get this done by May 1, you basically will need, I believe, a unanimous approval. If one person votes against it, it's dead. So the other fun thing about this is you guys have to do it. The legislature does all the time. You've got to compromise. You've got to talk it out and come up to an agreement if there's disagreement. No one probably gets their way if there's someone that feels something. You've not had to do that because one person can veto this. So it's really, you know, if you have any questions, I don't know any more than what I've said. It's an interesting topic, to say the least. And I don't have a clue where any of you think about any of this.
Well, what I'd like to do is ask the council if they want to have a little discussion first, but if the council would be willing to, as we're on this subject, we have several individuals, three individuals have signed up to speak on it. We could do it during this time. Take say until 7 o'clock, if it goes that far, to discuss it and listen to the input from them. So, is there consensus to do that, or would you rather wait for public, for them to make their presentations at public comment time, and then discuss it among ourselves?
Can I ask a question?
Karen.
How much control do we have in where it goes, what area?
There's laws on that. Can't be close to a school and different things like that. That part is controlled by the state. You have to be licensed through the state, and there's a whole set of rules on that. So they can't go put it next to a school.
I would like to hear, since we've got public here, and have taken the time to come down here. I assume some of us have probably received emails concerning this, to listen to the public comment and then discuss it. That's me. That's just me.
Comment?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, they have the option to speak on it. So I think before we can make any decision for truly representing the city, we should have to listen to the people.
Karen?
I'd like to hear what they have to say.
And I agree. So, first off, does anybody have any comment before we put it up to public comment? Anybody have anything? Okay. So, on the list is Carson Templer. Mr. Templer, if you would join us up front here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the introduction to that, Rick. Mr. Allen, I appreciate it. And hello, Council, Mr. Mayor. My name is Carson Templer. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
And I currently have a license from the Oregon Health Authority to open a medical marijuana dispensary here in La Pine. And so I guess at this time, I'm not really sure how to approach this, but I'd like to find out if the council has any questions regarding the establishment of that business that I might be able to help answer. Or concerns.
Could I presume for the council to ask you to give a description of what you believe this to be worthy of and what it can do for the community?
Well, as my opinion, it's a, I mean, I really don't look at it that it's any, like, it's much different than any other business, in that, obviously, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the state is concerned and the federal government, it's a legal business, just like any other business, and that's the only reason that I have decided to start this business. As far as with the community, I believe that it's something that is a good thing for the community. I have a lot of, I've done a lot of research regarding this. And like any other business, it's going to provide jobs. It's going to bring money into the community. And it's going to help people that need, remember, and this is medical marijuana we're talking about too. I think that sometimes that gets confused. And so you have to have a licensed prescription from a doctor in order to obtain the medicine. And I think it's something that there's a need for in most communities, and Lapine would be no exception to that. I hope that answers your question.
Do we know how many medical marijuana cards there are by zip code or by county?
I don't have that information. I know that there's approximately 60,000 in the state, but as far as how many there are in the county, I don't have that information.
Well, as a business model, how do you know if there's enough business to be? I've opened many businesses, and I have to know how many potential customers I have. So, how are you basing that there's enough volume here if you have no idea how many people here have a card?
Well, my decision is based off of information about there has been a dispensary in near Lapine, or on outside of Lapine. I don't have the address. I mean, I haven't been by there, but my decision was based on the income that business had been reporting. So I don't I don't have the information as far as how many people in Lapine. I don't know if that information is available to the public.
How did you know how much income that they report that to the state?
Right, then it comes to report.
That's what that is, so that's a requirement. I didn't know that. So the medical marijuana dispensary has to report to the state of Oregon how much it gross sales?
Sure.
Or in ounces, or I don't know that much about it.
Right, so, sales, just like any, every single, it's, yeah, as far as ounces, as far as money, everything is reported as required. I mean, there's 29 pages of rules and regulations that every dispensary operates under, and so all that stuff is going to be required by the state to be reported.
Have you secured a building location?
Yes, we have, and the requirements for that, the state requirements are that it needs to be 1,000 feet away from any school and 1,000 feet away from any other dispensary, but there isn't one in Lapine, so that requirement didn't need to be met. But so the requirement is, as far as location, it has to be 1,000 feet away from a school or another dispensary.
Did you on procuring this building? Did you ask of your neighbors what they thought about it?
Not at the time. I didn't ask the neighbors about it at the time. I just spoke with the obviously had a conversation with the property owner about it.
Okay.
And
anything, Karen?
You say, why do you say it's a good thing?
Well, I think it's a good thing for the community. Like I say, because obviously it's going to bring income to the community. Anybody that needs to get medicine can get it. You know, that lives in Lapine can get it here. Doesn't have to go out of town to do it for that reason. That keeps money local. I'm going to need employees to run the business, so that means I'm going to have to hire people, and my plan is to hire local people. I'm going to have to remodel. I'm planning on hiring a local contractor, planning on using a local bank, local insurance company. I'm planning on keeping everything
with regards to. So you have your shop in a neighborhood?
I have the location here. If you, it's right in the it's in the Aspen Alley shopping mall.
And as a general rule, how much does a doctor okay at one time on a prescription?
A prescription allows a to possess up to 24 ounces at any one. It allows the
cost
whole
of that.
Well, the cost of that, I mean, it depends on.
Who can have 24 ounces? The dispensary can?
No, a patient. Anybody holding a med.
Is that supposed to be a month's supply?
Well, it's not supposed to be any length of time. They're just allowing. That's anybody to.
But I educate us because I'm used to. I can't go in and get 500 narcotic pills.
Right.
So you're saying it's prescription. So
right.
If I'm going, if I've been prescribed marijuana, just like I can get two a day of whatever drugs people take. I don't have any of those, but whatever they all are for your pain and all that. So, I mean, there is a limit. So if medical marijuana is reducing pain for people with an illness, help us, is an ounce a day supply, an hour supply, a month supply, and 24 ounces sounds like.
It's really hard to say. I mean, people use it for so many different things. I mean, I couldn't speak to. I mean, people use it to make. They use it to cook with. They obviously people
will smoke
it.
Well, if they're making cookies, brownies, they maybe use more.
Right. That's why there's no real way for me to say.
So you don't tell people they can have 2 brownies a day.
The dispensaries are limited to the amount that they can sell based on the current law, which is which would be 24 ounces.
That just seems like a lot of pot. But
I just remember having taken drug training in the military.
Mm-hmm.
An ounce being a bag. I mean, an ounce was a lot of marijuana.
Right.
So when you said 24, I saw a big picture of marijuana.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't imagine that most patients would be buying that much at one time, and I think that law was established when they established in 1998 when it was established as a that people could possess it, could grow it, and I assume that they're basing that on if you're growing your own, then it's kind of hard to grow maybe a little bit at one time. So generally people would grow what they needed for 6 months or whatever. I assume that that's what it's based off of.
So would you be, are you going to grow and cultivate and do everything with this, or are you going to be buying it somewhere, bringing it in?
Dispensaries are only allowed to dispense. We're not allowed to to grow it, and so the product is the medicine is coming from people who have medical marijuana cards. In other words, people who are growing it.
Is there kind of a underlying? I don't follow a lot of this either. So underlining goal here that hoping the marijuana will be opened up to more people, making it more available for whoever wants to buy it. Is that the hopes for the future? Is that kind of what?
In other words, would it become legal? Like, am I hoping it would be legal like it is in Colorado?
Yeah.
Exactly. For recreational use, not just medical use.
Right.
I haven't got that far ahead with it yet. I mean, so right now it's just establishing a medical marijuana dispensary. That would be the only reason.
Stu?
Well, I'm trying to, like everyone else, wrap my head around this whole thing. So you would be dispensing it?
Correct.
So you obtain it from someone else?
Right. That's correct.
From, do you know where you obtain it from?
Well, like I said, dispensaries are only allowed to obtain medicine and plants also, because people will buy plants that they can take and grow on their own.
Okay, right there. Where are those plants grown?
So we are getting them from licensed, from patients who have licenses.
Okay.
So medical marijuana license.
You obtain the plant.
Right.
You bring it into your dispensary.
As the law states, people have to come to, the patients have to come to the dispensary to bring medicine or plants or edibles or whatever it is into the dispensary.
So okay. You would just be getting the processed, I'm sorry, Stu,
that's fine.
Marijuana.
Right, or plants or
so you will edibles. Get full plants that you could sell to people?
Correct. Well, and they have a limitation on those. It's 1 foot tall is as big as the plants can be that we can have at any
time. Can you only buy from people that have a card?
That's correct.
So what this actually reminds me, it'd be like the Tillamook Creamery in the sense it's a co-op. If
right.
You think about what he's saying, is that the members, if you say a member, you've got your Costco card, in this case you've got your marijuana card, and he's a broker in the middleman. So I have a card, I grow 5 plants at home, I could keep one for myself, I guess, I'm a plant owner, but I send down some to him, and I don't know if you pay him for them, and then you choose not to grow your own, so you go down and buy them. You're a baker, you make the brownies, but this stuff all goes in and goes out, but it's a closed system. The only people that can bring him stuff is a card carrier, and the only person that can buy it is a card carrier. Is
that's correct. Absolutely.
So it's a closed
correct.
System, almost like a co-op of those who all are in or have an approved marijuana card. So there's no outside broker that's got a warehouse or a nursery
right.
growing greenhouses full, like we do with whiskey. It's produced somewhere, and the state buys it and reads up it. In your case, it's got to be the members.
Right, it essentially is a co-op, that's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, a really good way to describe it.
Okay. Or Kathy, I'm sorry. Do you have, are you okay?
So I have a couple questions on it. I believe that since marijuana was first, grown in and legalized in 1998, that the potency of the stuff that's being grown has increased.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, if that 24 ounces has ever been adjusted between that point when it was passed, when it might not have been as potent to what it is now, because that seems like a lot of marijuana. I would agree with that. And then I also wanted to know if, when they're growing it, they are under like certain conditions, so every plant is the same, so you're not getting one that is more potent than another, because that could bring issues having one super strong come in. So I was just wondering what the conditions are, if they're all the same.
Right. Well, part of the rules for medical marijuana dispensaries, anything that we bring in, we have to have tested by an independent lab that determines not only the potency, but also whether there are any contaminants, such as mold or pesticides or anything like that, before we resell. And as far as how much the potency has gone up over the years, I don't know if there's any way I can't speak to that part of it.
Anything, Karen?
Well, I did ask you about cost,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't hear any answer there. What do you sell an ounce of marijuana for?
Well, somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 to $250 would be.
Wow. And it's not covered by Medicare, right?
Not at this time.
Good question.
I'd like to speak to, as far as whether it's illegal or not, as far as the federal government concerned, is they have issued a memorandum, the Justice Department, and basically saying that states, they're not going to interfere with states, with the laws that states have regarding medical marijuana. And I have a copy of it here, but what it says is based on the assurances that states will impose an appropriately strict regulatory system, the Department of Justice is deferring its right to challenge states' legalization laws. So in other words, the Justice Department is stating clearly that the federal government will not interfere with state marijuana laws if the distribution is regulated. And this is a copy of the rules and regulations from the Oregon Health Authority. There's 29 pages, and there's another 20 pages of which is called the Medical Marijuana Program Training Manual for Law Enforcement Officials. So under federal guidelines, it's not illegal. And that's part of that. That's something that I know has been an issue with other cities and counties addressing that issue. And so I want to make sure that that is that people know, because I don't think everybody knows that.
Let me go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the idea that I have a problem with the idea of the Attorney General not enforcing laws that are on the books. There are laws on the books, mm-hmm. and in my mind, it's illegal under federal law. I mean, I cannot get around that. I've taken an oath to support the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So having said
illegal?
That.
Is medical marijuana illegal? It's just legalization to the public is.
Under federal
law? Yeah.
The use of.
I'm asking because you have to be careful. When Colorado and Washington passed to anyone, the federal government said, you know, they weren't there. But I'm wondering on medical marijuana, is that illegal? Because lots of states, like 30 states have it. So
I
think there's a difference. I don't believe it's illegal for maybe prescription.
What I know and read about is that it's illegal under the federal government. There is no category of medical and recreational.
Or recreational, that's
okay. Okay. So that being the case, there comes my comment.
Right.
So there is where I have a problem with it. Now, with the idea that medical marijuana can help some people.
Mm.
I read in one paper or one document that there's no doctors out there that'll stand behind saying it's good for anything.
Mm.
And then there's others that say I support it.
Right.
That's being good. So this to another subject then. You said that the people with the cards, the medical marijuana cards,
mm-hmm.
which are issued by a doctor.
Correct.
Okay. And how hard is that to obtain? Do you know anything about that?
Well, to my knowledge, I mean, I don't have the list with me, but there's a very specific list of ailments that
you have to have.
That you have to have. Okay. In order to get a card. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Now you said that, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I just thought you'd trail down there. But you said that when something comes in,
mm-hmm.
you have to take that and have it tested.
Correct.
And then you're going to find out what that is and package it in some fashion and sell it.
Correct.
Okay.
And resell it, yeah. And that's for the safety of patients. Everything is tested for, that's just part of the requirements of the law.
Okay. Are there that many growers out there that have got cards? I mean, I go back to the question the city manager asked about, you know, the demographics of I guess what I envision, and maybe I'm looking at the wrong picture, but just hordes coming to the door. to get this, and you can't supply because you don't have enough growers. But of course, that's a business decision and not a...
Yeah, as a business owner, I wish that was the case, but I didn't, like I said, there's only 60,000 in the state, and I think it's kind of a supply and demand. I mean, I would hope there would be enough supply, but...
I hope we got two other people in here. I think they may answer some questions that he doesn't.
Okay. One more.
In your process, what are your plans for the byproduct that you can't use?
That's a good question.
For disposing of it, you know, because if it's on one side regulated, mm-hmm. you know, is that qualified for hazardous materials like your bio waste material, since it's a medical?
I don't think so. I mean, and I don't know if that's something that's been addressed in the laws of what we would do with if there was anything left over, but.
Well, they throw that in the burning barrels too, and the neighbors all.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, probably.
Because it is, you know, it's a serious concern. If there's.
No, I like this question.
It's but he doesn't know that. Yeah,
it's a good question. I haven't thought that.
But I think you want to find it out. Yeah.
One of those other, you know, processes that nobody has thought about.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's something. And if I may, just before I step, as far as the memorandum or goes or the
ordinance
to ban, my thinking is that. What I would like to do is work with the city and work with the council members about this and every step along the way. It's not required, in other words, in order to make laws or make changes to the laws for the city, in order for the city to do that, to adopt their own laws, the cities don't have to issue memorandums in order to do that. In other words, you have the whole year, the whole next year to make changes, any changes that you see fit. That's what the law is for. And banning it is part of that, or issuing a ban for a year is part of that. And so my thinking is that I want to be involved in the community, involved with the council, and throughout this whole process. And if there are any changes, any concerns that come up throughout the process, I'd like to work with the city with regards to those. If it's banned for the next year, then I don't have the opportunity to do that. That's just kind of where I stand on the issue. I want to be in this community. I like Lapine. I want to be a business owner in this community, and if it's something that's going to work for the community, and that's where that's my thinking with this whole process, and I think that it is something that can be good for the community. We talked about earlier, there's a lot of benefits to having something like this in town, and I have a. There's other statistics where actually having dispensaries proves that it's actually leads to a reduction in crime, a reduction in teen use, which I know is probably a concern for some of you. And so throughout all my research over the past year, everything I've found has been that it can be a really positive thing for the community. Anyways, with that being said, I will.
All right. Okay. Anything else, Council? All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
So the federal government does not. No, it's not for you. The federal government does not consider the difference between medical and recreational use of marijuana although they only enforce it generally against persons who are possessing, holding, or distributing large quantities of marijuana. Under federal law, marijuana is treated like every controlled substance, such as cocaine and heroin. The federal government places every controlled substance in a schedule, in principle, according to relative potential for abuse and medical value. Marijuana is classified as Schedule 1 drug, which means the federal government views marijuana as highly addictive and having no medical value. Now, there's a lot of disagreement on that, for sure. Doctors may not prescribe marijuana for medical use under federal law. However, they can recommend it.
Interesting statement.
It's illegal, but you can recommend it.
Well, a recommendation is nothing.
Well, I know, but it's interesting. You're recommending them to go buy something that's illegal.
Anything else? Not all. I'll ask Randy Huff, who is on the list.
How are you doing today, council members? Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
That's all right. Just have a seat, and you have something you want us to look at? Okay. So I'm going to take it that these are sign-up sheets for yes or no on marijuana.
Yes, Mayor.
Medical marijuana.
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. And so I'm going to start this down the row and let the council look at it. Okay. I think there's a summary sheet here of yeses and nos. And
it's a little plain. Sorry, it's not real detailed. Okay. And
that's all right. I'm just glad you you came forward and brought your comments.
If you just remember, this is not the hearing. If you want that on the record, you would have to bring that to the hearing in
okay.
2 weeks.
Okay.
This is not a hearing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
I'm
tell us about your this when you
okay. I obtained most of these votes, signatures from the city of La Pine here. I personally went around. I had two businesses. Flick World Video over here, and the accessory shop next to the Green Life Gardening store, where these ledgers were placed to obtain signatures, a little feedback from the community. I also put one of these ledgers at the Sheriff's Department. Although nobody wanted to participate, I kind of wanted to get feedback from the community on it. That's the basis of what this was. But despite this, I personally went around to citizens of La Pine here, business owners, people visiting here, people that spend money here and obtain signatures, people from outside La Pine, Gilcrest, Chamal, Bend, Sun River. And it basically consists of yes and no votes. But as you can see on these ledgers, some people put question marks because they kind of weren't sure about the matter. So some people are kind of not sure about the political side of it, I would say.
Okay.
And that's basically what this consists of, is just votes, opinions on what people want here in the city of La Pine.
Just for the record, Mr. Huff, if he applied for a business license, he came and met me.
Yes.
And he applied for a business license, they're not required yet, and he paid. So we have that application. And more than anything, it just gave us where it's got, you know, where he plans on doing it, his name, address, phone number, contact information, and everything. And beyond that, then, so you might want to tell him what your business plan was. You heard from the other guy. What,
sure.
What your thoughts?
Okay.
Who's your customers?
I've been involved with a lot of medical marijuana patients here in the city of La Pine, helping them out, giving it away to people that have serious debilitating conditions that are in need of this medicine. So I know firsthand the volume of patients here in the city of La Pine that don't have a chance to obtain it safely because it's not ran through lab testing. So they have to obtain it from other growers that really don't know what they're doing. That's why I really want to help the community by opening up a dispensary, because it allows safe access to this medicine. By getting it tested in a lab, like the last gentleman that spoke, he kind of covered the lab testing on it and a lot of the details and requirements that the that these dispensaries require by state legislation. So I have my spot secured over in the Huntington Alley Mall where Radio Shack is over here. And if you guys allow it, I would like to open up a dispensary there to help out the community. First and foremost, I'm all about helping out the community. I wrestled at Lapine. I went to high school here at Lapine High. And I want to help the community out in any way I can. Do community service with St. Vincent de Paul over here and maybe at the Lapine Kitchen, like the last gentleman said. Okay. So.
Questions, Conrad, anything?
I have something in my head. Give me.
Sorry, I'm a little uptight up here. I'm not very the best at public speaking.
Breathe.
I want to know.
Yeah, that's what I needed. I need some water, I think. But
does someone or the federal government or the state or wherever the laws come from for this, do they regulate how much you can sell it for? And do any prescription companies cover this?
As far as like insurance, things like that, insurance companies, I'm not sure that far yet if they would cover the cost of this. I will definitely look into it as soon as. Thank you very much. As far as I know, it's a cash business. People bring in cash or credit cards, so they can charge on a credit card. But as far as insurance goes, I'm not sure if that's covered.
Do you monitor how much you sell to
yes.
one person, let's say, considering that you sell it and they might get in a car, smoke it, and drive away?
Yes, there is very, very strict requirements to document every sale of exactly how much marijuana is distributed to each individual. And I firsthand would like to say that if people come in, they're not going to be coming in and picking up the last guy said, up to 24 ounces is allowed for one patient to hold by state legislation. We're probably going to put a limit on that to not allow people to come in and pick that much up, you know, unless they have a strict way to use it, like they're baking with it, because that is, like the mayor said, a lot of marijuana to just be distributing out. So if I open up my dispensary, we'll probably put a limit on how much marijuana per patient per time limit that you can receive, and we're going to be putting that, documenting it on our database.
Thank you. Can you smoke on site at the dispensaries?
The state legislation states that employees also can use marijuana, but not in the facility and not on the premises. So they'll need to exit the premises and then come back, say, for a lunch break or something like that.
Okay, so...
So there's no smoking on the...
There's none, not by patients or...
Nope.
I can't light up.
No, and if you guys would agree with it, I think we could put... Obviously, if you guys agree with it, I think it might be smart to put a city ordinance against using marijuana in the city, per se, for the schools and things like that. And you don't want people coming into businesses, even with these debilitating conditions, reeking of marijuana. That's not good for business. People look really down on that type of thing. So if there was a city ordinance against people using it in here, they really need to do it at home in a safe manner, and then, you know, go out in public, you know, not smelling like it, because that's not good. It's not a good thing.
Oh, what I'm understanding from what these past speakers have said is that the dispensaries just provide a safer way for people to get a hold of it. Obviously, if a person really wants it, even if there aren't dispensaries, they will find a way, it most likely illegal, to get it unless they drive. Where is the nearest dispensary if we don't pass it here in the fine?
it's in Bend, and a lot of people don't have the means that are cardholders that have their own disability. They don't have the means to travel to obtain this medicine, and that's why I think it's really important if we could get at least one here in the city of Pine to give easy access to it, to where people don't have to spend a lot of gas to drive all the way out there. Some people have serious pain conditions to where they're not able to drive. They have to have someone else go get it for them, like a caregiver.
So what are those conditions that, just off the top of your head, or if you know, are conditions that allow for the use of medical marijuana?
Chronic pain.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, there is severe pain, which would fall under the category of chronic pain. There's glaucoma. There is, I think, from some reading I've done, people that have cerebral palsy, serious debilitating conditions like that. There is a list. I don't, off the top of my head, that's the basics of it.
It's just, the idea of medical marijuana is kind of, it goes
it's
back
a serious
and forth
thing,
because
yeah.
It gives a for safer some way for the stuff to be grown and distributed because it is tested, but also it makes it easier for people, community members, to buy it, and that means more of it in the community. And so it goes back both ways. So I was just trying to figure out how many people will really use it, and it's all right.
I have another question. How long a period of time did you collect these signatures?
It was since last Thursday. I work at the mill in Gilcrest.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Crescent. Sorry. And I've got two children myself, and another one on the way. So in my spare time, I actually went around and tried to get people's opinion from the city of Lapine, because I'm from here, and it's an important issue to me, and I'm sure everybody else here.
Okay. Well, anything else?
What year did you graduate?
I actually got my GED.
Okay.
Yeah. I got it actually before my graduation date. So.
Okay. Cool. So I take it this is your first business venture. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Because my question, listening, is: have you, like the other gentleman, done your research on how many medical marijuana card holders? It's the same question. Would this business be able to survive? Or are we going to have another business
No.
moving in and then just fail?
The thing of it is, like the last gentleman said, he already ascertained his business building. I have as well. So that means if we both follow through, which I am very determined, if the council passes this or denies the memorandum, sorry, there will be two dispensaries in the Pine at that point. And as young as I am, the wisdom that I've obtained, I know how to run a business, and I'm going to do it very successfully. And as for that one, the last question, there is a whole lot of patients here in the city of Lapine. So the thing of it is, like I said before, they really need safe access to this medicine, and with the volume of patients that we have here in Lapine, it's needed, and it's not going to be another business that just fails. It's going to be a big succession, and I think if there's two dispensaries here in Lapine, also both of them will not only survive, but they'll flourish.
One last question.
I have a question. This is Councilman Jones. I'm on the phone.
Go ahead, Greg. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to know, in regard to that, in Northern California, when medical marijuana dispensaries became legal, the small cities like Lapine were overtaken by growers and you know, they pretty much ruin those little towns. Now, that's something I'm concerned about. You know, I'm invested in Lapine, and I don't want to see it turn out the way Humboldt County did, for instance. Can you answer that?
That's a good question. That's true. The way I see it, anywhere you go, there's going to be a lot of growers here in Oregon. As far as specific areas of concentrated growers overrunning certain cities, I really couldn't answer that. The city of Lapine, it's a nice city, and I think that if we had a dispensary here, that it would allow these growers to get in communication with the dispensary or ease in a safe manner to do good business and get the marijuana off the streets. And anybody that isn't growing it correctly obviously won't pass the lab test and won't be allowed in the dispensary, and they'll kind of fall out.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, if we allow one dispensary, that means multiple dispensaries could come in, and that would mean more growers coming in, supply and demand, because pretty soon you'll have people coming from out of town to our dispensaries to buy, and then we could have a real nightmare on our hands.
Okay, I understand that. That is possibly true. The basic way I see it is providing this medicine to people that really need it. As far as the dark side of the situation, I wouldn't really know too much about that. I know it really helps people. I know patients here in the city of Lapine really need that. And as for the state legislation, it's very controlled. Very, very scrutinized, very strict. But as far as people moving into the area, more growers and things like that, I don't have the power to answer whether or not they would or they wouldn't.
Yeah, well, I'm disabled myself. I have to see my pain doctor in Bend every month, because, or whenever my prescription comes due, because we don't have a pain doctor in Lapine. But I don't understand the need, so, you know, per se, for us to have this medical marijuana dispensary when there is one available in Bend. You know, I travel to Bend to see my doctor. I don't understand why other folks in my same, you know, predicament can't drive to Bend and get their prescription filled as well.
Okay. There's a lot of people that are in poverty, that have very low incomes based on whether they are disabled or they have the physical need for medical marijuana, but they don't have a lot of money, and they don't have money to keep their vehicles going and things like that. So they would have to travel to Bend, and a lot of people are not able to travel to Bend and obtain this medicine. So that's one of the
And if they're paying $150 to $250 an ounce, they'll never get that car fixed.
True, that's
true. if they're on Medicare, then Medicare pays for legitimate medications that are recognized by the federal government.
Yeah. I think there might have been a little bit of confusion with the last gentleman that spoke. From my perspective, and like I said, I've been active with the medical marijuana community as far as that goes. A lot of people don't come in and pick up ounces and 2 or 3 ounces. They'll come in and pick up 3.5 grams or a quarter ounce of medical marijuana. So they're not spending $150 to $250. They're spending like $30, $40 at a time, and that can last them up to
How many times a month?
It varies for different debilitating conditions, and people use it differently, smoking it, putting it in edibles, and things like that. So as far as that goes, you could use an ounce, 2 ounces, or you could make 3.5 grams last for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Greg. If there's no more questions, Council, then I thank you, Randy, for coming up.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council members. Thank you.
And well, I thought you were on the agenda there, Gary. I guess not. Peggy? Is that Dow, Peggy?
It's Val.
Val, with a V? Thank you. I'd like to have the record reflect that Carson Templer lives at 17295
Scalp Drive
in Sun River. And Randy Huff lives at 16089 Green Forest Road in Lapine. And
hi, I'm Peggy Val. And I don't know, maybe it's not the right place to say it, but I am for medical marijuana. I get it. I understand it. A lot of people is against it because you think of potheads. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. My pain doctor told me, you might want to consider it. She will only give me 5 Percocets a month. When I have my flare-ups, I go through 5 Percocets in 2 days. I have nothing for pain. I, over-the-counters, Tylenol, don't do nothing for your pain. I can't take your NSAIDs, which is ibuprofen, Motrin, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. Celebrex, none of those. I have a medical problem afterwards with a GI bleed. So I can't take anything. I am for it. I get it, so many people are against it. I have a daughter that's a nurse that told me over a year ago, Mom, please think of it. I'm a nurse. I have nothing for pain. I am for it. I have a husband that's not even for it. I made him watch Weeds and Weeds 2. I don't know if anybody heard of it, by CNN, Sanjay Gupta. He was totally against it. And it's very good, very educational. I'm just saying I'm for it. It is a process to go through. When my medical doctor told me to go for it, I said, are you kidding me? That's totally against my profession. She goes, I don't have too much to offer you. I went through injections. I've gone through the gamut of things, MRIs, CTs, everything. A neurosurgeon says, you're not a candidate for surgery. My husband goes, gosh, can't they do something for your pain? There's nothing for my pain. I live in pain every day. While I've been sitting here, I've probably had over 20 spasms because my pain is so high. 2 weeks ago, I moved some furniture. I can't move my left arm because the pain is so intense. I know people take it for different reasons. I am for it. I just hope that the city of Lapine would possibly consider it. To go through to answer some of your questions, when I went to the pain clinic, from there I went to one of the medical shops in Bend. It would be nice to have one here versus going to Bend all the time. Even though Greg drives to Bend, I drive to Bend all the time, but there are people that can't drive. So okay, you go to the doctor or this clinic, they do their paperwork, you have gobs of paperwork, you go through, they fax it to your doctor, mine was the pain clinic, they do their thing, send it back. From there, it goes to the state of Oregon, they process it or not. Takes 3 months to process. To get the card, it's very expensive. If you are on welfare, it's only $20. I paid a heck of a lot more than that. I think my fee was like $180. Medicare does not cover it, neither does insurance. That is money out of my own pocket. But all the drugs that I can get from my doctors do not work, or they make me so knocked on my butt, I cannot function. So after you go through the paperwork, you get your card in your mail, and the max you can have is 24 ounces. If you grow, you can have up to 24 plants, but I think it's 6 can be adults and 18 can be the little 12 ounce. or 12 inches. That's it. When you go to the dispensary, only one person goes in the back to get the drugs. That's it. Everything's on computer. They put on computer, what did you get? How much did they weigh it? What you got? You go out, you pay for it. It's on a computer that you paid. Everything is computerized. I don't know if this helps you with any of your questions, but you normally buy a gram up to four at a time. And a gram could be anywhere from $8 to $15 that I've seen.
How long does it last you, say the 4 grams or something? That question came up and everything. Can we ask you that?
I've only bought it twice.
Okay. Does it last you a long time?
And I've had my card since December.
Okay.
I only take it for sleep. Granted, I could take it for others, but I just want to sleep at night. You have no idea how to function on 2 to 3 hours of sleep. That's it. And you go night after night, and I've been doing it for years, the max, 5, 6, but
okay.
It's hard.
Counsel?
Is there any questions?
I had one, but I lost it.
Karen, anything?
What does it do to, does it impair your driving?
I don't drive with it. I make my husband drive me. But I only take it when I go to sleep so I can sleep. And that's it. I don't know about other people. I just feel like I have a personal responsibility. It's like I don't drink and drive either. I can't get behind the wheel, and I don't smoke, so I'm not going to smoke it. So I do mine by eating it. I'm not going to eat it or drink. I hardly ever drink, but I'm not going to do it and get behind the wheel. I know other people don't have my perspective, but I'm just saying from a medical person, that's all. And there are lots of diagnoses and fibromyalgia, chronic pain, post-traumatic stress disorder, multiple sclerosis, glaucoma. There's a whole list. And you'd be surprised how many people do medical marijuana or plain marijuana. If they're not going to get it legally, they're going to go illegal. And yes, they'll go to Bend to get it. I mean, I don't know any other place close.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Okay. Any discussion, Council?
So this is your chance. You have the ordinance in front of you, and if you want to talk about any changes or things, this is where it's your discussion. Silence is not required. Should be not encouraged. It's up to you guys. Because if you can't just sit here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a break. 5 minutes.
Nice.
30 minutes ago.